Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gents, another week, another episode of Absolute Truth Absolutely. We are so content that you are downloading these programs and you have the opportunity to spend some time with us as we discuss and comment on cultural issues, and of course we give you a biblical perspective on every single one of them. That way you are on the straight and narrow that leads to life and not on that wide door and wide path that leads to perdition. As always, this is your host, Gio. I am the youth leader for LWYM, and with me, as always, is my father and pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Jesus Martinez.
Thank you, Gio. Good to be on board once again, and I think we have an exciting program with a very interesting topic.
Absolutely. We've spoken before about this issue of teachers not caring about their students, and we have called for students to make sure that they are looking out for themselves, not to trust their teachers. And some people might say, well, that's far-fetched. Well, the Bible is the one that says in Jeremiah 17:5, not to trust in man, because if you do, you're going to depart from him. That's first and foremost. And secondly, we should always make sure that we look to our parents, those that truly care for us, as our role models. That's something that we spoke about last week. But yet the culture teaches everything differently. They say, no, your parents are the ones who don't care for you, the ones that hate you. You want to look to other people as role models, and we've discussed that before. But we have as proof that, for example, this group called teachers, they really don't care about students' education. Rather, they care more about their paychecks and what they're receiving in pensions and their health benefits more than they do about their students.
Are they part of the village that, according to Hillary Clinton, we need them to bring up a child properly?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much they are part of that village. Well, you look here, for example, at the Michigan Education Association. This is a union which recently put out a pamphlet, a booklet, whatever it is that you want to call it, where they're encouraging teachers, for example, in this pamphlet, to strike, which is illegal, by the way, in the state of Michigan. And also, it encourages teachers that are part of the union to use their kids or their students as propaganda types, or I guess vehicles, in order to bargain, sort of as bargaining chips, if you will, so they can bargain for higher wages, better benefits, and so on. This goes to show us that these teachers are not in it for education, they're in it for a paycheck.
And at the end of the article, it's all about the kids, it's all about the children. Well, how can it be all about the children when the target, the objective, is to get a pay raise, to get a better position, to get whatever it is the teachers are looking for? So first of all, there's this honesty here, because it's not about the kids, it's about the teachers. And number two, it's almost like sequestering the kids. You know, when the garbage collectors go on strike, the garbage starts to pile up. And all of a sudden, it forces the hand of the people to force the hand of the government to give the garbage collectors what they want. Well, these people are doing exactly the same thing, except that the tool that is being used is your child and mine.
Yeah.
This is why, this is only one reason why homeschooling has turned so popular and so effective. Because, Gio, I can't place every teacher under that broad stroke and broad and brush that says they don't care, because I know there are many teachers that do care. But for whatever reason, some of them don't care. And it's just their job. And I don't know about you, I want to have a teacher, I want to have a doctor that not only understands that this is his or her job, but cares about this. Yep. Because they'll do a better job. If you have a doctor treating you who is just doing his job, he's not going to be into the details. He's not going to be as passionate, if you will, about his care of you. But if it's not only his job, but he's passionate about this, and he wants to see people well and people enjoy life, then he's going to go the extra mile, because that, I believe that's exactly what happens when it's not just a job, but it's also your passion. It's something that you really care about. And I don't see this in many teachers. Now, some object and they say, well, their hands are bound because, you know, there are so many regulations. Most of the regulations that are in place is because They demanded them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They extracted these things from the voters and from the legislators via strikes, which, by the way, in Michigan, it's not legal.
Well, but this is kind of what happens when you have the government running things. Some people say, well, we need to put more power in the hands of the government. But when we put more power in the hands of the government, we see less efficiency. We see less quality control, which are terms that are usually used in business. But it's true. When you leave these things to the private sector, if you will, people are going to take care of this more so than the government is. Why? Because it's your own. It's the same thing in homeschooling. We'll give you an example. When it's my kids that I'm homeschooling, I'm going to take care of my kids more than anyone else's kid, if you will, being that vulgar as it may sound, because these are my children. I care about my kids' education, but it works the same way with any other mother, with any other father that's homeschooling. Well, what do you mean, Gio? Those are their kids. So they're going to take care of those kids, and they're going to see to it that those kids receive superior education. Whereas teachers that are in it just for a paycheck, they don't care. They can assign homeworks. They can assign assignments. They can say certain things within the classroom, and they don't care because that's not their kids. Those are not their children. As long as they receive their paycheck, they receive their benefits, and they go home happy, they, to them, the rest of the world is fine as long as they're receiving their benefits and their paycheck. Even further so, most of these teachers, you'll find that if they're in it for the paychecks, what they use is that they'll use the classroom as a platform, if you will, to spew out their evil ideologies. And instead of teaching the topic matter, the subject matter, they spend 45 minutes maybe out of the hour or whatever, however long the class may be, speaking about politics and speaking about other things that do not pertain to the subject. I mean, when I was in high school, when I was in the university, I saw this happen. I was in a music appreciation class in the university, and the teacher went out on a tandem, I mean, on many occasions, talking about Christianity, the supposed evils of Christianity and Catholicism and so on and so forth. What is that doing in a music appreciation class? But again, it goes to show you that at the end of the day, these people don't care about higher education for these students. And we're not talking about every teacher, like you said, and it's important to note that. We can't use a broad stroke. But we're seeing that it's becoming more commonplace nowadays.
Well, I think there's something even more sinister and evil lurking in the background, and it could be Satan's invisible hand, if you will, because you obviously start to see behind the shadows of these presentations and these arguments that what Satan really wants is to shape a society. And so this is why I quoted Hillary, "It takes a village," because it's not really about getting your kids to a better place so they can handle their math and their reading and their science and keep up with, you know, the latest technologies. It's about shaping their mind so that it fits the culture, the utopia that they want to create. Because the point is very clear, at least for me it's clear. I cannot love you more than I love myself. The first commandment commands me to love God above any and all things. And then the next one tells me, the second one, which Jesus said is similar, it tells me to love you just as I love myself. I cannot love you more than I love myself. Yep. So even in the given case that one is that developed, that spiritually developed, it has a limit, and that is I cannot love you more than I love myself. I don't know that many people where that is that highly developed. So your point is valid. This is my child. You are not going to love him as much as I do.
Yeah.
Because it's my child. It's the same with everything else. This is my vehicle. This is my house. I'm not going to go damage your property.
Absolutely.
But when I paint my house, I'm not going to go paint yours.
Exactly.
First of all, I don't even know if you want your house painted. And if you do want to paint it, am I going to impose a color on you? And so on and so forth. So you see the many rules that are being broken here. And so at the end of the day, Gio, I think what lurks behind this whole thing, you know, village, and this is the structure, and this is where we're taking it. It's about shaping society.
Yeah.
And it's not really about the kids. The kids just become the people that we want to shape to get to that utopic, supposedly, society that they're trying to build.
I think it's interesting to note here also there's always going to be some sort of backlash, if you will. And what do I mean by this? Well, I'm going to use here as an example, and not that I endorse him in any way, shape, or form. There are people that will take my words and say, well, he's endorsing such a political candidate, and that's not the case here. But I think that he makes a very valid point and a truthful one. Rick Santorum wrote a book in a rebuttal towards Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village. He says it takes a family.
Yeah.
And from that standpoint, he comes from, you know, the core basic principle. At the end of the day, no one is going to care more about your child than you do. And I think that when parents, especially, and students learn that no one has their best interest in mind more than their own parents, more than the parents do for the kids, and the kids, you know, have to understand that that's coming from the parents, then you start looking at your teachers with skeptical eyes. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Of course, you have to be able to have some sort of discernment. If you see that the teacher is willingly trying to help you out, he'll stay after hours, or she'll stay after hours and says, look, if you don't understand that, I don't have problems explaining this again to you. And if they're being truthful and teaching the subject matter objectively, then you understand that you are under the hands, the supervision of a good teacher.
Unless he or she stays as many hours as needed to, for example, introduce me and keep me and just frame me around socialism.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now we have a dedicated teacher, but once again, not dedicated to my well-being, the child, to his ideas, to his philosophies.
Well, that's the point. You have to see. That's why I said beforehand, and the point is well taken. You have to look at people with skeptical eyes. Again, we return to this point of trust. Ronald Reagan used to have this phrase that people used to get tired, but it's true. Trust, trust, but verify. In other words,
I don't trust you.
I don't trust you. Exactly. That's the thing. You can't place trust in human beings, because the day that you do is the day that you will suffer the repercussions. Look, tomorrow I can be a faithful human being, and the very next day I can send you to hell in a handbasket. And that's the truth of it.
Look, Gio, since the very beginning, we see that Satan, first of all, questions what God has said. So God said, huh? Then after he's done with that, he starts attacking it. And at the end, what he wants to do is replace it. And we see the same thing happening in different ways, using different methods. You take some cultures that would have you think the way they think, and if you don't, they kill you. And others, like here in this country, this is the way that we would have you think. And if you don't think this way, you're an outcast. We make fun of you. We call you a caveman. We ridicule you. And we make sure that you stay at the bottom. And so at the end, it's one and the same objective. And that is to suppress freedoms and suppress the ability, the God-given ability, that we all have to analyze something and say, no, I'm not going down that route. Because again, they're trying to build a utopia like Nimrod did, where we don't need God, and we're going to prepare a way that even if he tries to intervene, we'll lock him out of our system. And this is what is at play here, and this is why I said some cultures will do it through violence, others will do it through supposedly philosophy,
yeah,
and free thinking. But at the end of the day, all they are trying to do is establish a utopia. That's my word, and I don't think they will admit to that, where we have no need for God, we don't consider God. And so this is why I said earlier, I see something even more sinister and evil lurking in the background, and that is Satan's hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I was reading yesterday about a pastor, one of the people that don't get mentioned too often. You hear people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and others that were against the Nazi regime. They wanted to get into the churches and use the church because they know that the church is a powerful tool, if you will, to spread out their agenda. And Hitler saw the church as a powerful tool to spread out the socialist communist agenda. And one of the earliest pastors that really doesn't get mentioned along with Bonhoeffer and others is this individual by the name of, if I'm not mistaken, it was John Schneider. And this was a German pastor that he went up on the pulpit week by week just trying to expose the Nazi regime and their agenda and their ideology. And back then you already had this movement of the social justice gospel and this Nazi gospel, you know, kind of turned into one, a paper mache, if you will. And week by week you would say, wait a minute, this is not the gospel. What they're preaching, what Hitler is preaching and what the SS and others are preaching, this is not the gospel. Interestingly enough, what you were talking about earlier, oppression, you find that the Gestapo, they take a hold of this guy because he wasn't submitting to what the culture, to what the government was putting out there. And then they took him to the Buchenwald camp, concentration camp, eventually they killed him, because this is the way that many people think that you suppress the truth. In our culture, it's different, since we have these laws, which slowly, by the way, they're being stripped away, our freedoms. This is what they eventually want to get to the point where those that speak the truth, they are put away. Because, again, like Jesus says in John 8:32, if the truth gets out there and you accept it, it's going to make you free. And this is why they'll do everything to suppress it. But again, interestingly enough, segueing into this pamphlet, this manual, I wanted to mention a few things, because there are those that will probably say, well, okay, this Michigan situation, it can't be that bad. Well, let's use a couple of quotes. This is the title of the manual: Building Full Capacity Locals, Crisis Planning. It's Never Too Early to Start. It's a 28-page manual. In it, they quote Saul Alinsky, of all people. And it quotes Alinsky and its book, his book, Rules for Radicals. And it says, quote, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it, end quote. Now, how do they do this? In the manual, it says the following, quote, in terms of a bargaining message, the public responds most positively when we talk about children, quality in the classroom, and in the future, end quote. And it continues, quote, there may come a time when it's appropriate to talk about money and benefits, but lay the groundwork first, end quote. So again, we return to this issue. The kids, they're using them as pawns.
That's so malicious.
It is malicious. It's evil. And some people say, yeah, but teachers don't get paid enough and whatnot. If that's the way you feel, don't use other human beings to advance your cause.
Most especially kids.
Most especially our children. But again, going back to the point that we were making, these teachers that are using the children as pawns, as bargaining chips, they don't care about the children.
You know, that principle, if you can call it a principle, because it's very dark, but nevertheless, just for the sake of conversation, that principle of riding something or allowing something to ride you until its usefulness is gone, we see it in the book of Revelation in chapter 17. We see the woman riding the beast, and when the beast, which is representative of evil and the, you know, the government of Antichrist and all that, says, I've had enough of the woman, which is organized religion and all the things that is done throughout the century. He says, get off my back. And they destroy her. So this dark principle, this principle of darkness, what else can you call it? Yeah, we see it played out over and over again. Yeah, get on my back and I'll give you a ride. And you know, there's that old proverb or fable about the scorpion wanting to hitch a ride on the back of the frog to get to the other side of the lake. And the frog said, nah, I ain't giving you a ride because you're going to sting me.
Yeah.
He says, no, I wouldn't do that. I ain't going to give you a ride. You're going to sting me. No, I wouldn't do that. So the scorpion convinces the frog to take him to the other side of the lake. And once on the other side, what does he do?
He stung him.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what happens. But again, going back to our main point here, it's the following for students, and we give this as a very dear advice. Remember to always stick close to scriptures. Scriptures will never, ever let you go left or right. They'll keep you on that center line. And always listen to your parents. Your parents have your best intention in their minds. At the end of the day, the teachers, they're there to collect the paycheck. A lot of them are. Many of them, yes, they want to educate you. As a matter of fact, I'll even go further. There are many teachers that they feel that nowadays their hands are bound. Many times they want to try to help out students, but a lot of these local unions and government regulations and stuff doesn't let them do so. So I think at the end of the day, what we're trying to say is this. Always stick close to scripture as closely as possible, as close as humanly possible, and that won't let you go astray. And secondly, you keep your head above the water, if you will, and you keep your head above from drowning by doing your own research. A lot of times what they're feeding you in school is a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of bunk. You need to do your own research in these things to keep your head above the fray, if you will. I don't know if you have any last minute advice.
Yeah, Gio, your first two pieces were excellent. You know, maximum trust in scripture, in God, and then in the pecking order, your parents would be second, because even when we see a dedicated teacher, she or he could be a zealot, and we could misinterpret that dedication and automatically deduce that they've got my best intention in mind, when in reality they're zealots, and what they do is slowly convince you until they turn you into their own image.
Absolutely. And we've given a perfect example of this, and we hope that you can take this to heart and pray about it, of course, and that the Lord will guide you in your studies and whatnot. Well, I want to thank you, Pastor, for being with us again, and I want to thank all of our listeners. If you have any questions or if you have any comments that you'd like to direct to our inbox, I ask you that you do so at ata@lwim.org. That address again is ata@lwim.org. Until the next episode of Absolute Truth, Absolutely, for Pastor Jesus Martinez, this has been Giovanni saying goodbye, and may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwim.org. That's info@lwim.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwim.org/ata. This has been Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.